2 days before the exercise, she left a lecture on ship systems maintenance and found a message on her personal comm unit. Lieutenant Commander Ulis wanted to see her at her earliest convenience. Since she had an hour between classes, that meant right now. About 10 meters from Ulis's office, she stopped. The office door was ajar.
You have to see that it's impossible.
Why?
Esme paused, wishing the door had shut firmly.
Because you're already the target of assassins. The field exercise is by nature dangerous, and it's also impossible to secure. All it would take is one person, just one, with the right skills to pick you off.
You mean to tell me that on a base covered with fleet personnel that you can't even let me do a simple field exercise?
Brunn evidently expected to shame Ulis into changing his mind. That wouldn't work.
I mean, we will not approve it, nor will your father. I have already forwarded our decision and our reasons for it to him. He agreed.
Oh, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. If I'm a target for terrorists, then it's perfectly clear that escape and evasion is exactly what I need to know. What am I supposed to do if I get kidnapped and need to escape?
The escape segment will be available, at least the urban end.
Fine. So let's say I've broken out of some provincial jail somewhere. Now, I have to cover 100 kilometers to a safe haven, and I have no training.
According to your father, you have had ample training in the basics of survival and navigation in the field, both on Cerealis and on Castle Rock. Your field skills are, in his opinion, and those of our instructors who review the recordings, equivalent to those of most graduates. So the escape segments should fill out your skills very well.
Silence for a moment. Esme wondered if she could just walk past the door now, but even as she moved, Brunn stormed out, obviously in a rage. She broke stride when she saw Esme.
You will not believe what just happened in there.
Excuse me, I overheard a little, and I have an appointment.
Brunn's eyes widened, but she moved aside. Esme edged past Brunn and into the office, where a grim-faced Commander Ulis looked ready to melt bulkheads with his glare.
Sir, Lieutenant Sweezer reporting.
Close the door.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to talk to you about your team assignment. If you overheard much of that, then you know we have concerns about security. Up until last night, we still had orders to accommodate Meager and include her in all the courses, including the field exercise. However, since we now have permission from the highest levels to exclude her and her bodyguards, we need to rearrange team assignments. We're going to split the exercise, and you'll be assigned to a new team, acting commander. I understand you do very well at motivating strangers, Lieutenant.
So the camaraderie she'd built up with her team over the past week would be no use to her. And the team she went to might well resent losing its familiar commander. But at least she wouldn't have Brunn to worry about.
Thank you, sir.
Thank me afterwards, if you still can. Remember, your score depends on not only your own successful evasion, but how many of your team make it.
Esme's new team waited for her in the afternoon skills exercise. They had a bored, wary look. They were, she realized, the team that Anton Lavati had led. And Anton had remarked, just too audibly, that he had his doubts about the source of Sweeze's success. Serrano Pet was a phrase she had been meant to overhear. She had ignored it, but these people hadn't. 2 women, 4 men. She ran the names over quickly in her mind. All but one had been in her class in the academy, but she hadn't seen any of them for years. And she hadn't been close to them even then. That afternoon's exercise was deceptively simple. From a scatter of raw materials, improvise a way to cross a series of natural barriers. Each obstacle required not only teamwork, but also innovative thinking. None of the poles were long enough, none of the ropes strong enough, none of the assorted other objects were obviously meant for the tasks at hand. Esme tried being forthright and cheerful, as recommended in the leadership manual, but only some of her new team responded. Lieutenant Taris was inclined to be peevish if her ideas were not accepted the first time. Lieutenant Parad and Jig Berlin could always think of ways for things not to work. By the time the period was over, they had completed only 4 of the 5 obstacles. Esme was aware of the frowning instructor, ticking off points on his chart. This team had been ranked 1st or 2nd in every exercise. Now they wouldn't be. It was possible to request overtime, though it was rarely done because it imposed a 20% penalty on the entire score. Esme raised her hand. Taris shook her head. Esme rounded on her.
We are going to finish this, Lieutenant, if we have to stay here all night.
We can't win! We might as well take the 80% we've got!
And when you need that other 20% of experience, where are you planning to get it? We're completing this exercise and we're doing it now.
Esme expected more resistance, but despite some sidelong, grumpy looks, they tackled the final obstacle with more energy than they had any of the others. 5 minutes later, they had solved the problem. And although Esme halfway expected them to dump her in the mud, they got her over the pit with the same care they expended on each other. By the time they got back to the mess hall, Esme felt she had a chance with this group. A slim chance, but a real one. If only she had a few more days before the field exercise. The next day's prelims went better. Her new team seemed willing to work together again, and they were back up to third in the daily ratings. Esme went to her quarters to pack her gear for the field exercise and try to snatch a few hours of sleep before time to leave. Baron might have stopped by, though she'd hardly seen him for days, except with Brunn. She hoped it was Baron.
I suppose you're proud of yourself.
Excuse me?
You never did want me on your team. You haven't liked me from the beginning.
I...
And now you've made sure I can't do the field exercise so you can take over a top team.
I did not. They just assigned me.
Brunn flopped onto the bunk, making a mess of Esme's careful arrangement.
Oh, don't be stupid. You're the heroic Lieutenant Sweezer. They want you to shine, and they've arranged it. Never mind what it does to other people's plans.
Esme could feel her pulse speeding up.
Like yours?
Like mine, like Anton's, like Baron's.
Baron's?
You know, he's really quite fond of you.
Brunn idly prodded a stack of concentrate bars until they collapsed. Two slid off onto the floor. Esme gritted her teeth and picked them up without comment. She did not want this.
I was trying to find out why you're such a cold fish, and I thought maybe he might know. And I'll bet you didn't even know the poor boy's half in love with you.
Esme contemplated for a moment the probable result of pulling out Brunn's tousled gold curls by the roots.
Of course. Such an upright professional as yourself would never stoop to dally with mere ensigns. He, like the rest of us, is far beneath your notice, unless someone gets in your way.
This time, Brunn picked up a water bottle and opened and shut the spout.
That is not fair. I didn't have anything to do with your being taken out of the field exercise.
And I suppose you want me to believe you support me.
No, but that's not the same thing. It wasn't my decision to make.
Brunn gave Esme a challenging glare.
But if it had been...
It wasn't. What might have been doesn't matter.
So true. You might have been a friend. You might have been Baron's lover. Instead...
What do you mean, might have been... someone's lover.
Even as angry as she was, she could not say Baron's name in that context. Not to this woman.
You don't expect him to hang around worshipping your footsteps forever, do you? Just in case you might come down from your pinnacle and notice him. Even a bad case of hero worship yields at last to time.
And you, of course, were right there to help him over this unwarranted fixation?
I did my part.
Brunn flipped out the gold curls with a gesture that left no doubt what she meant. Esme had an instant vision of them strewn about the room, little gold tufts of hair like fleece on the shed floor after shearing.
He's intelligent, witty, fun, not to mention incredibly handsome. I thought you'd notice.
A light of unnatural clarity seemed to illuminate the room. Esme felt weightless with pure rage. This to be pursuing Baron. This to displace her, to ruin her relationship with Baron. A young woman who boasted openly of her sexual conquests, who refused to abide by any rules, who claimed to be unafraid of rape.
It's just mechanics. Aside from that, no one can make me pregnant.
Hardly conscious of what she was doing, Esme reached out and lifted Brunn off the bunk and set her against the wall, as easily as she could have picked up a small child.
You playgirl! You come bouncing in here, all full of your genetically engineered brains and beauty, showing it all off, playing with us, playing with the people who are risking their lives to keep you and your wonderful family alive and safe.
Brunn opened her mouth.
You wanted to be friends, you said? What did you ever do but get in my way, take up my time, and go lusting after anyone who caught your fancy? It never occurred to you that some of us have a job to do here? That people's lives, not just ours, will depend on how we do it? Oh no, not you. You want to go play in Q-Town? Someone should go with you. It doesn't matter to you that means learning less. After all, what does it matter if you pass a course or flunk it? It's not your life on the line. You don't care whether you ruin Baron's career or not. You think your money and your family make it all right for you to have anyone you want?
Brunn was white to the lips. Esme didn't care. Her anxiety about the next day, her exhaustion from weeks of extra work, all had vanished in one flash of righteous rage.
You have the morality of a bitch in heat. You have no more spiritual depth than a puddle of mud in a cow pen. And someday, you will need that. And I promise you, Miss Rich and Famous, you will wish you had it, and you will know I'm right. Now get out and stay out. I have work to do!
With that, Esme yanked the door open. She was ready to shove Brunn out, but Brunn stalked past her, under the eyes of her waiting security, who carefully looked at neither of them. The doors were not made to slam, or Esme would have slammed hers. As it was, she restacked her gear with shaking hands, packed it, set it aside, then lay unsleeping on her bunk to wait for the alarm.